20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome inside another edition of a Pack-A-Day Podcast, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thank you for making us part of your day. Football is back, and we are so excited to have it back. We are into training camp now. My name is Nick Schmitz. I will be your host for today, and joining me tonight on the podcast, Owen Reese. Owen, welcome back to the podcast, and unfortunately, Jacob Wessendorf, for whatever unbeknownst reason, cannot be with us tonight, but nonetheless, the show must go on. Owen, it's been a couple of weeks. Training camp's going well so far. Any initial thoughts, any takeaways so far from training camp?
Not too much. I know we kind of talked about this pre-show. We're not going to beat a dead horse here or reinvent the wheel about training camp coverage, but I guess just a few things. Really, one, knock on wood, there have been no major injuries. I think any team, that's a good sign for them. You can ask the Washington Redskins, who lost Reuben Foster on the first day of OTAs. Projected to be a starting linebacker for them. I know A.J. Green with the Bengals also have some ankle injuries, and we've, with skill guys, ankle stuff typically tends to drag on into the year and kind of be a nagging injury, so that sucks for him. And the Bengals, I know they've obviously lost Jonah Williams as well. So again, no major injuries. It's always a plus. And then two things, really. One, the Packers signed Corey Grant, who I suppose at this point is – about as relevant of a signing as you can have, considering he's not a household name by any means, but he is an established player. He's played with the Jaguars for 3 or 4 years, and a speed back, graduated from Auburn, and runs like a 4.2. Legitimately very fast, and kind of weird, because like I said, he ended up graduating from Auburn or leaving Auburn, but at one point he was a part of that like famed Alabama running back group run where they had like, at one point on campus at Alabama, they had Derrick Henry, T.J. Yeldon, Kenyon Drake, Alvin Kamara, and Corey Grant all on the team at one time at running back. And that obviously succeeded Eddie Lacy and Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram and all that. So just an incredible run, really, for Alabama running backs and the amount of talent they've had there. But I think Grant fits a lot. Like, he's not probably as much of like a pure zone runner as you would like for this scheme, but like linear wise, he's elite as a running back. Like he just has different level of speed than the typical back. So I know offensive coordinator Nathan Hackett's kind of said that right now he's still kind of got training wheels on as far as like learning the playbook and getting everything down, but said he's excited to see him really kind of let it go and play and could make some plays. So I thought that was an interesting addition to the running back room. And then the other thing too, obviously the news of the week, the Packers cutting Mike Daniels last week, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator, came out and had some pretty, high praise for Montrevious Adams, the third year defensive lineman, talked about how when Pettine got to Green Bay last year, he said he didn't think very much of Montrevious Adams and that Adams knows that, that he wasn't very high on him. He said he's kind of worked his butt off and lost some weight and really become a more dependable and complete defensive lineman. And Pettine said that he's someone that they're going to depend on this year. So obviously, with Adams going into his third year, it's a guy that made the Packers feel more comfortable with getting rid of Daniels, knowing that Adams was there as a younger guy and someone that Pettine has some glowing praises for. So I thought those were just a couple things. I guess I'm not trying to – we're not trying to say the same things that everyone else has said. But just kind of those are some things that stuck out to me and thought pretty notable. Also, I guess as well, in order to say the same things that everyone else has said, Josh Jones is in camp, and apparently they've gotten over the issues they had in OTAs. He's not holding out or he's not waiting for a trade. He's kind of said they're past that. I think he's a huge addition for this defense if he plays up to his potential. So that's where I'll cut it at. But all things seem to be trending in the right direction for the Packers. Obviously, probably all 32 teams feel that way at this point, but certainly, no bad news, at least as far as we've got to report from Packers camp so far.
Absolutely. And, we talk about not trying to regurgitate the whole thing. We're going to keep you up to date as much as possible on training camp, as that is. We've been waiting for it forever now, and now that it's here, Andy Herman and many of our contributors here at the Pack a Day podcast. They're at training camp most days, and they're doing a great job of keeping you up to date via Twitter on that. So make sure that you're following them, and make sure you, especially, I found this very helpful for me. There's certain people that are there most days. I have their notifications turned on. Andy is one of them. So every time he tweets about anything with training camp, I get it to my phone immediately. So make sure you're doing that too. That'll just help you keep up to date a little bit more with training camp. But Owen, like you've been alluding to, we're going to kind of change it up today. I got two things that I want to talk about. One's a minor thing, and one is more of a major thing. So we talked about this pre-show here, Owen. I have never, until today, I had never heard of Lizzo. I guess she is a new and upcoming pop artist. And I don't, like I said, I don't know much about her. The only thing I know, after doing a little bit of research, she's, like I said, she's new. She's got this new song out called Truth Hurts. And it's very popular, and she is originally from Minneapolis. And so I've got two versions of this song. I'm not going to play the whole thing, just a little bit of it. Owen, I want you to listen to both versions and tell me if you notice anything different between the two. Here's the first one. Okay, so that's the first version, Owen. Here's the second version. Did you notice any difference between the two versions of the song there?
I just don't. I mean, you know, the radio, being very conscious for our younger listeners, we don't, you know, want to censor any of that vulgar language.
Yes. So in that first version there, the actual version of the song, she mentions the Minnesota Vikings. And now I will say, when I looked into this, I like I said, I was not aware of it until today. And I guess it's been out since about beginning of June. But WIXX in Green Bay, they're kind of the pop radio station in Green Bay. They edited out the name Minnesota Vikings from that song. And now what's funny is I played that for you. That's part of the chorus, which means that part is cut out 3 to 4 times in the song. So I guess, Owen, quick question for you, because I was doing a little bit of research into this. I found a couple of radio stations in the Minnesota area that talked about it. I, for one, I grew up in Minnesota as a Packer fan, and I don't have any love for the Vikings. So I think this is funny, but that's also probably because it's a product of where I grew up. Is this... Do you find this funny? Is this childish? I mean, what do you think about WIXX in Green Bay editing that part of the song?
I don't know. I think it's fine. It's playful. You know, obviously the Vikings have kind of gotten the better of the Packers the past few years. Obviously, there was the animosity with the Anthony Barr incident and Aaron Rodgers' collarbone injury. I don't know. It's fine. I think it's like I said, it's playful. I don't think it's anything disparaging or nothing, you know, in poor taste. I think it's, like I said, if they do that in Iowa, okay, you know, but like it's in Green Bay, the Packers and Vikings is a fairly well-known rivalry. I don't think that's anything out of bounds there. They're still playing your song. It's fine.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny, and the way I looked at it was, if she had mentioned, you know, the Packers or something, and it was playing in Minneapolis, I'm sure there'd be a Minneapolis station that would have done the same thing. So I thought it was kind of funny. I know, like I said, some of you maybe are way more up to date on some of this stuff than Owen and I are. So our apologies if you already knew about this and it's old and whatnot. But when I found out about it, I thought it was funny. I thought we could talk about it quick. I always love taking a jab at the Vikings if I can. So that was just kind of fun. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, Owen, and this came out, I believe it was either over the weekend or on Monday, Bucky Brooks, he's a writer for NFL.com, and he wrote an article, I guess it was posted.
Former Green Bay Packer, Bucky Brooks.
I'm sorry?
Former Green Bay Packer, Bucky Brooks.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm looking at it here. I'm looking at his article here. It was published on July 26th, so last Friday, I guess, so just over the weekend. And it's titled, Aaron Rodgers is Overrated, Why He's Not a Top 5 Quarterback. And it's a long article, and, you know, this is now the second article we've had in, what, the last 3-4 months about Aaron Rodgers. This one a little different. The first one that came out, you know, from The Athletic a couple of months ago, about his leadership and the division between him and McCarthy. That's one thing. This is different, talking about why he's overrated, why he's not a top five quarterback. And the article is long, and you can find it on NFL.com. You can just, I found it by Googling Bucky Brooks, Aaron Rodgers is overrated, and it comes up right away. You can read it. It's a long article, and he basically points out why he's not a top five quarterback, and where he's coming up with this is there were 55 NFL front office people that were asked to rank quarterbacks in the NFL by tiers, and all of them had Aaron Rodgers at number one. And he disagrees with it, and I'll give you Bucky Brooks' top five here real quick. He cites it in the article. So Patrick Mahomes is one, Philip Rivers is two, Drew Brees is three, Tom Brady is four, Russell Wilson is five. Now, I would say four of those five are probably fine. I don't have an issue with it. Obviously, I would put Aaron Rodgers in the top five there. But, you know, he goes through and he's talking about the last couple of seasons, how his numbers have dipped. He's only a 500 quarterback. He's 24-24-1 as a starter in the last couple of years here. So, you know, we have known that Rodgers has struggled in the last 2 years, but 2 years ago, he broke his collarbone, missed half the season, and then last year, he played on basically a broken leg for, you know, the entire season, and so injuries have something to do with it, and like I said, it's a very good read. Go read the article as far as all the arguments he lays out. I think he makes some legitimate points, and I think some of them are overstated, but I mean, Owen, when we talk about Aaron Rodgers, this is the one argument that I have always talked about, and this is not to start a debate, but I believe the greatest quarterback to ever play the game is Tom Brady. He's won 6 Super Bowls. He's gone to 9. It's far beyond what any other quarterback has ever done. But when I have this conversation with people, I always say that Aaron Rodgers is the most gifted, the most talented. He can do things that just no other quarterback can do, and that is precisely the reason why these 55 front office people in the NFL ranked him as the number one quarterback in the league. So, Owen, when you hear somebody write that Aaron Rodgers is overrated, like, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And, I mean, like, how do you start to look at something like this when clearly Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer and clearly he's one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the game? Can you put Aaron Rodgers and overrated in the same sentence unless the word not is somewhere in there?
I don't know. I mean, like, from what I was able to skim of the article and I was at work, I understand what Bucky's trying to get at. And to be honest, like, this might be a bit of a heel turn for me, but I actually kind of agree with him. I don't think, like, Aaron Rodgers is overrated from a talent perspective. Like, I don't think anyone's ever going to claim that or question that. I think he and Patrick Mahomes are, like, the two clear-cut most talented, and with, like, maybe Russell Wilson, you know, right behind them as far as where these guys are able to do from a mobility standpoint paired with their arm talent. So, like, I think those three are pretty much in a class of their own, at least as far as right now. But, like, it makes sense. And, like I said, I'm not going to argue too much against it because you're basically looking at, you know, Bucky's basically spelling out the top five quarterbacks in football right now. You know, what have they done? What's going on? Because, in theory, Aaron Rodgers is, like, top two, right? I mean, like, he's very – From a physical talent standpoint, what he's able to do, what he's done in the past, I think it's probably either he or Brady or, like, maybe Drew Brees for the top three. But I think from where he's getting at and, like, what the actual gist of the article's at, I think he's probably right. Like, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played, like, the best quarterback in the league the past 2 years or 2.5 years or whatever it was. And honestly, he probably isn't in the top five. I think whatever your theory is about he and McCarthy or whatever else, I'm not really interested. But I think probably the overwhelming sentiment is that he hasn't played as well as he could have. And I think that's more so what Brooks is getting at here. I don't think he's saying that Rodgers is bad or like that the NFL guy, the executives are incorrect or wrong in their opinions. But like, I think probably what people will get kind of caught up in here is like, I agree with him. I don't think he's been a top five quarterback in the NFL the past 2 to 3 years. But I think if you were like, okay, your season's on the line, you've got one game, you know, this is the Super Bowl. What quarterback do you want quarterbacking your team? You know, I'm going to pick Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's 5 to 6 probably not wrong answers there. But just to me, I think in that category, he's certainly the top five. Like I said, I would pick Rodgers if you needed to win one game. And probably until 2 years ago when Mahomes kind of got hot and started playing how he has, I think to ask the question, if you were to start a franchise with one quarterback, who would it be? I think that was probably Rodgers. I think maybe Mahomes may have taken that mantle now. But, like I said, to that point, I don't think he's wrong from the fact that Rodgers has probably underperformed or underachieved the past couple of years. I don't think that makes him, like, overrated. I just think that those, like, his logic isn't running parallel with what, like, the executive's decision-making criteria was. Because he's like, yeah, well, like, look at the win-loss and look at, you know, he hasn't been the same player and he hasn't elevated the performance of his team, like, which is probably right. But at the same point, like, I would argue with you pretty vehemently that you're like, so you're saying that Philip Rivers is better than Aaron Rodgers? Like, no, he's not. But, like, Philip Rivers has played much better. And I think that, like, also has to be acknowledged that Philip Rivers has had a lot more talent around him, at least the past couple of years, which, again, isn't his fault. There's no reason to knock him. But, like, Philip Rivers isn't better than Aaron Rodgers, but he has played better the past 2 years. And I think that's where, like, the difference in this philosophy versus, like, it's basically like merit versus theory, maybe. And, like, that's where this is at, because, like, Aaron Rodgers is a top two, you know, in talent or in theory, but in merit the past 2 years, he hasn't been. So I think that's kind of where that intersection is with this article and what his disagreement was with those executives.
Yeah, and you know, I think you make a lot of great points there as far as, yeah, he hasn't played up to his level. Some of it's injuries, some of it is talent. There's a lot of different things that, you know, that contribute to it. And, you know, when you look at it, I mean, a lot of quarterbacks go through, you know, down periods. And, you know, even when you look at it, like Tom Brady the last couple of years, you know, he hasn't played as well because he's getting older. There's many different factors that go into it. That doesn't mean we don't think he's a great quarterback. But I thought a lot of the points were, you know, I thought it was a very good read. I thought that there was a lot of fair points made in there. And like I said, I encourage you all to go read it if you haven't read it yet. And you know, it's hard for me to say from the standpoint of talent. And like you said, like if you want to go out and win a game, like Aaron Rodgers is going to be one of your top picks, if not your top pick, to just go win one game. So I thought it was just very interesting, you know, more Aaron Rodgers news coming, you know, out. And, you know, a lot of people look at these articles as shots at Aaron and criticisms of Aaron. And, you know, some of it I would just say is, you know, look, I mean, some of it is just realities. He's getting older. He hasn't played as well as what we're used to. That doesn't mean that he's bad. It doesn't mean that he's overrated. But definitely something worthy of discussion. And sticking on Aaron Rodgers in training camp so far, I do want to get a quick take on the wide receiver room, as it is a position of interest coming into this year. And Owen, where do you see Obviously, we're going to take Davante Adams out of it because we know he's making the team. Where do you see? And I know again, I hate doing this, but it's part of it. Is we're projecting here. So when talking about the receiver room, how do you see it sitting as of right now? I know we haven't had any games. We've had just a couple of days of practice, but I know there's been a lot of talk about it. As far as the receivers are concerned, is anyone standing out to you? And do you have kind of like a list, for lack of a better word, of where you'd rank them right now?
Yeah. Like, let me just to clarify quickly too before I jump into that from the Rodgers thing. Like you said, he hasn't been playing quite as well, and you know, quarterbacks have those down things. Like, it's also, I think, important to note too, that his peaks are so insanely white hot annoying that, like, it shouldn't be. I think as Packer fans, you take it for granted and you expect him to just be like that way all the time. Like, that's not normal, like, for quarterbacks to play like that. You know, like, that's not his. When he went like the run the table thing, you know, when he did that, like, he played so well through that stretch. Like, you can't expect him to, like, extrapolate that over 16 games every year. Like, otherwise the Packers would win the Super Bowl every year. Like, it's just not a realistic thing to ask. Like, I don't expect Rodgers to throw, like, 45 touchdowns and 3 picks every year. You know, like, it's just not – that's not realistic and it's not whatever. So I think, like, that was an important piece of context to do that too, where to keep in mind, like, his down years, quote-unquote, these past couple years are still, like, good. They're just not – what you've probably come to expect from Rodgers as being like this Superman elite quarterback talent. And I think that that's like a big part of like his perception as far as like his drop off. But yeah, I mean, as far as the wide receivers go, it's obviously kind of, you know, we've talked about it on here before. I think like probably the most appropriate way to do it would like be to make tiers. So obviously Davante Adams by himself, like he's very good. He's I believe I saw a stat, like he has the most receiving touchdowns over the past 3 years of anyone in the NFL, I believe. He's got 36, maybe, which was, like, one better than Antonio Brown, which is a pretty good standard to go off of for wide receiver play. Also saw Antonio Brown listed as, like, a potential bounce-back candidate by someone the other day, and I guess if you can bounce back from, like, 1,600 yards and 15 touchdowns, I guess you can do that. But So, I mean, like, that second tier is, like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and EQ St. Brown and Geronimo Allison. I think that guys that you're kind of really curious to see what their role will be, but I think they're a bit more established and you know what you have in them. They've displayed it over a full season, per se, even though, you know, EQ and Valdes-Scantling were rookies last year. I think you've probably got an idea of where you're at there. I think those three are there. Valdes-Scantling, the speed linear guy, EQ, I think probably a bit more of like a large slot or a big dude that can kind of use his catch radius over the middle as like running crossers and stuff. And then Allison just kind of getting the most out of his physical ability and really being that possession receiver that is really dependable. He's really good on like scramble drills and stuff. And then that next tier is kind of like unknowns or like hopefuls, I think. And that's, you know, Jamon Moore, obviously, was a fourth-round pick who didn't really do much last year of anything. And I think that's where probably, like, Trevor Davis and Jake Kumerow are at, too. And I think that's, like, your big deal because that's your top seven dudes. And I think that's where the quarrel is there because I think they'll probably keep six. You know, but I think Jake Kumerow is probably the quote-unquote best wide receiver of those three. I think he's probably, like, the least physically talented of those three. But it'll be really interesting to see because he's got, like, everything that Jamon Moore doesn't as far as, like, a route-running polish and, like, an all-around game as a wide receiver and more dependable hands and stuff like that. And then Davis is a guy that has had fairly limited opportunities as an actual true wide receiver, but has been good in the return game and is also a very good special teamer, like, on coverage teams. And then you've got Moore, like I said, who's just this, like, still this ball of clay that's very raw coming out of Missouri that, you know, like I said, didn't see a ton of time last year, got some at the end of the year, had a fumble on a kickoff return against the Jets. You know, maybe that's jaded my opinion of him a bit. You know, but just not a ton of opportunities for him as well. I think if you're the Packers, like, your absolute best case scenario is that he's able to, like, show improvement but necessarily not do it in games, so then you're able to stash him on the practice squad again, and like then you can keep Kumro and like keep all the cult fans happy, but also like be able to kind of keep Jamon Moore, and hopefully he doesn't get poached by another team, but at that point he's your seventh wide receiver, so I don't know how upset you really are about it anyways. And then, like, obviously the fourth tier then would be, like, everyone else. You know, there's, I can't think of his name, Shepard, the slot kid from North Dakota State. I want to say Russell Shepard, but that's not right. And then, like, Jawil Davis and kind of, you know, like, that the lower, you know, Alan Lazard, who I'm still kind of surprised that they haven't moved to tight end yet. And just some of those guys, like, those are the guys that really need, like, the reps. I think, like, the top four guys are pretty fine, like, Valdez Scantling and St. Brown need reps because they've only played 1 year, but I think those two, especially in the top four, are very like established, and those are the guys that the Packers feel very well about. I think it's those lesser guys, those underneath guys, that truly are going to benefit from these reps the most, and you got to think probably in the first, probably like half the second and the fourth game, they're going to get most of the reps now that the NFL went away from the cutting like incrementally, and now it's all just done like from 90 to 53 in like 2 days. So I think that's kind of where you're at. I think if anyone has potential to stick, or like, not to sound like medieval times here, but to like jump classes or to like kind of bust through that stratification, I think it's probably someone like Jawil Davis or like the Shepherd, if they have like a chance in the return game. Or if Jamon Moore comes out like a house of fire and he like can run routes like we saw him do in his limited capacity. He like at Missouri, he only ran like slants, posts and goes and comebacks, but he was good at those. And I think like the talent is pretty undeniable. That's why the Packers took him in the fourth round. It's just about him putting it together. I think if he has a really good camp, or if Kumro has a really good camp, I think that either of those two could like jump up into that second tier and make themselves a hell of a lot more tough to cut or to like keep on a practice squad. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's probably like my guess. I think, like I said, that third tier is really where the roster is going to be made, because I think they'll keep six. So whether it's, you're either going to keep Jamon Moore because he's one of the six best wide receivers with he and Kumro, or you're going to keep Davis because you need a return guy. So I think that's kind of where that's at. I'm also really curious to see what Rodgers' chemistry is like with these newer receivers in this new scheme. Now, obviously, like, they're not running, like, they don't invent new routes for this offense or anything like that, but just kind of how the offense is put together and how the philosophy runs together, I think that'll be interesting to see. And I think that, you know, maybe in years past, you've seen Rodgers have to improv more because he was, I don't know, maybe, I'm assuming, speculating here, but I guess, you know, if you figure he was frustrated or was, you know, maybe growing tired of, like, a quote-unquote stagnant offense, I think now you probably have that opportunity with him and like this fresh new offensive scheme and this new philosophy. And, you know, you've got these kind of exciting pieces, really. I mean, like, they weren't considered exciting when they were fourth, fifth, and seventh round picks. I mean, but out of those three guys that were rookies last year, I think you've got some talent there, and Devontae and Geronimo around them. I think they're plenty capable. It'll be interesting to see how they gel with Rodgers and how they are utilized in this new scheme. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that like it's a super intriguing position group because you've got some known but a lot not, and even some of the stuff you do know, you really don't, because we haven't seen them utilized in this new scheme yet. So to me, I think wide receiver is one of the more interesting positions on the team. And yeah, we'll see how we'll see if Rodgers bumps back up into that top five of the quarterbacks with his performance, because I think that's really where like Brooks was coming from there.
Absolutely. Well, these are definitely all storylines to keep an eye on through the preseason, and we will keep you up to date on all of those. One aside that I did see recently is that, and I'm sure it probably comes as little to no surprise to anyone, but it sounds like the first preseason game, not this week, but next week, It does not sound like Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing in that game at all. Hard to say one way or the other whether or not he should be. That's a whole long conversation for a different day. But just a little bit of news there. It does not sound like he will be playing in that game. Doesn't mean that he won't, but as of right now, it does not sound like he'll be participating in the first preseason game against the Texans about 8 days from now. So, all right. Well, with that, we are out of time for the day here, guys. Owen, if people want to follow you and interact with you, how can they do that?
You can follow me on Twitter at Reese Draft. It's R-I-E-S-E Draft. You know, obviously with the season coming up, things are starting to getting closer to fall camp. The Badgers just released their roster this week, or roster for camp today. And with that coming, the Packers obviously coming soon. Hall of Fame game on Thursday night. We're getting closer and closer to actual football. Even though people will complain and say that it's the fake football and that it's a bunch of undrafted guys that no one cares about. They ask for football for 6 months, and then they're not happy when it gets here. So, yeah, just excited for football to be back and kind of hear some pads popping and stuff. So it should be a good time.
Absolutely. So, well, Owen, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Jacob, hopefully you will be with us in 2 weeks, right before I get married, so you guys can have some commentary on that if you want. But thanks so much for listening, everyone. And as always, go Pack, go.